Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we're in the Gospel of John, going verse by verse, continuing our verse by verse study through John. We come today to John chapter 15, verse 21. So get your Bible, as always, if you can, open it up to John chapter 15. We'll begin in just a minute. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. As many of you know, you can study the Bible verse by verse using my audio Bible messages right there at your pace, at your convenience, at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out. Study any book of the Bible you want to study, anytime you want to study, by clicking and listening. All you need to bring is your Bible. Everything else is there. One more time, that's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Let's go back and begin reading in verse 18. We covered this last time. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." So, I think it's important for us to remember that when, as Christians, we are persecuted, it is not because of us. It is because of Christ in us. If we let Jesus live through us, we're going to be persecuted. It's just inevitable. But the real target is Jesus in us. Verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." The severity of a person's judgment is determined by their level of privilege. Some of the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who know what the Bible says, but reject it. And maybe the hottest places are for those who actually saw and heard Christ in person, but rejected him. 23. "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Most unsaved people today would say, "Oh, I like God." Or, "Yes, of course, I like Jesus." But the God that they talk about, the Jesus that they say they like, is not the Jesus of the Bible. He's one that they made up. He's a Jesus, he's a God that caters to their sin, that does not command repentance, and certainly doesn't send anyone to hell except maybe a mass murderer. The real test of a person's attitude toward God is their attitude toward Jesus, the Jesus that is revealed in the Scripture. The real test of one's attitude toward God is their attitude toward the real Christ, because he represents the real God. Verse 24. "If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father." The rulers, especially the religious rulers, were not rejecting Christ because of a lack of evidence who he was. They were rejecting him because they didn't like him And they didn't like the fact that he spoke the Word of God. The Word of God made them feel uncomfortable. And they certainly did not like his holy demands. They hated how he cut through the tinsel of their religion, which so often obscured the simple teaching of Scripture and got right down to the heart of the matter, which was the Word of God. They just absolutely hated that. And they and those like them are guilty of sin. And they continue to be guilty of sin because they will not allow Jesus to remove it. Verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You know, Jesus never did anything to deserve anyone's disapproval, even, let alone hatred. And that's why no one who has learned about him and rejects him has a good reason for doing it. If you learn about the Bible, Jesus, the real Jesus, and you reject him, you don't have a good reason. You have a sinful reason. You have the self-centered reason, but you don't have a good reason to reject him. Because he never did anything wrong. He never said anything wrong. He was completely holy. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen God the Father. He was love manifest in the flesh. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was holiness manifest in the flesh. If you reject him, Jesus is not on trial, mister. You are. You're not standing in judgment of Jesus by whether you reject him or receive him. You're the one who's on trial. And what you do with Jesus, whether you accept him or reject him, determines whether you are right or wrong, whether you're right with God or not right with God. 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. When the Holy Spirit enters believers on Pentecost, when they entered, I should say, believers on Pentecost, their knowledge of Christ came alive, just exploded. And that's because the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus and teaches about Jesus and loves to get the person who he indwells to think about Jesus. That's why if you're a Christian, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you love fellowshipping with Jesus. You love being in the Word. You love it when I talk about Jesus. You love it when you're taught about Jesus. You love it when you read about Jesus. You love it when you pray and praise Jesus, because that's the Holy Spirit in you, and he's stirring those things up in you. Verse 27. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Being with Christ, watch this, being with Christ qualifies us to talk about him. The more time you spend with him in the Scriptures, the more he can use you to minister to others. The important thing, it's not Bible college, although there's nothing wrong with a Bible college if it's a good one and they truly teach the Word of God and they don't water down the truth. There's nothing wrong with it if it's a good one where you can truly study the Word of God and truly be taught the Word of God in a very focused manner. That's wonderful if that's the case. But I'm saying, the most important thing in the world, the thing that makes you the most useful to God, is spending time with Jesus. The more you spend time with him in Scripture, the more he can use you to minister to others. Chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. In other words, I've been saying what I've been saying so that when bad things happen, you're not going to give up on me. I want you to know ahead of time what's happening so that you don't give up on me when it happens. You know, one of the best reasons for being in the Word of God during good times is so that you will have a reservoir of spiritual strength for the bad times. Verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Some will actually think, I'm going to kill an apostle and make God happy. That's what Jesus is predicting. Some people who are going to kill you, you apostles of mine, they're going to think that by doing that, they're making God happy. You know who was one of them? The Apostle Paul, before he got saved. Oh, he thought absolutely for sure he was doing the work of God by persecuting Christians. Kill a Christian and God will pat me on the back, saying, nice murder. Way to go. You know, you turn away from God. You reject the counsel of God's word. And it is possible that you will say and do things that you never believed you would or could. That's the story of the religious rulers who rejected Christ. That's why they did it. They weren't guided by the Word of God. They were guided by their man-made religion, their legalism. 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Anytime you ever suffer any type of persecution for Christ's sake, again I say, remember, you're not the real target. The world's hostility against Christians is really against God, who's in them, and who those Christians live for, and who their persecutors do not know, nor do they care to know. Verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. We may not always realize it when it is happening, but God works to prepare us for what is coming. The things you go through today are in part to prepare you for the future. 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, where goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Jesus had been talking about going away. And as a result, the apostles let sorrow fill their hearts. It is important not to let disappointment fill your heart with sorrow. That's the sort of thing that drains our spiritual strength. When disappointment hits, pick up the shield of faith and remember that God is going to work it for your good in the long run. Don't let sorrow overwhelm you and drain you of spiritual power and joy. You got to trust in God. You got to trust in His sovereignty and that He's in control and He's going to work all things, even those things you don't like, for your long-term spiritual good. If you don't, you'll lose your mind. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And see, that's just what I was talking about. It was disappointing news that Jesus was going to be going away. They were used to hanging out with him for over 3 years every day. They loved it. And it was disappointing news that Jesus was talking about going away. But Jesus right away tells them, that it's really good news disguised as bad news. For a Christian who loves God, all bad news is really good news disguised as bad news. Again, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When Jesus returned to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside his people. And that's why they were better off with Jesus returning to heaven. It's better to have Jesus' Spirit inside of all of us Christians than to have Jesus in his body confined to just one place on earth. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit ministers to Christians in many different ways, but his ministry to the unsaved is what is in view here. It's very simple and it's very direct. He convicts the world, the unsaved, of their guilt and of their inevitable judgment because of that guilt and of their need of the Savior. You see, let's read this verse again. When he has come, the Holy Spirit has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. If you are a preacher and you are filled with the Word of God and you don't preach against sin, and I mean calling sin, sin, not a dysfunction, not a behavior disorder. If you don't speak against sin, and if you don't warn the people about judgment, God's wrath, eternal hellfire, if you don't speak, if you don't preach about sin, if you don't preach about eternal hell, if you don't preach about judgment, then you are not in the will of God. You are rebelling against your God-given mandate. No one will get saved unless you preach against sin, unless you preach against judgment, unless you preach that people are not righteous enough on their own to stand before God. If you don't do that, the Holy Spirit isn't going to work through you toward the unsaved, because that's his message to the unsaved. And if you're so cowardly that you won't talk about those things, no wonder no one ever gets saved in your church. No wonder your church only grows because you put on better entertainment than the place down the street. And don't tell me that's not true. I know what goes on. And if many of you were honest and you had a half a spiritual brain in your head, you'd recognize that what I'm saying is true. And many of you know it. It's a competition. Is the preacher down here more entertaining? Is he more intellectual? Does he tickle us in some way? Is the music more entertaining? That's how people get from one church to another in many, many places in modern evangelicalism. That's how these quote unquote churches grow. You know it. Because the preachers don't have enough guts, many of them, to speak against sin, to warn of judgment, to warn of hell, and to say that people are unrighteous, they're not good enough. It's going to turn somebody off. And yet that's precisely the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the unsaved. If you don't talk about those things, you are quenching the Holy Spirit's power toward the unsaved. Verse 8 again, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Yeah, if you talk about it. And of righteousness, you're not right enough, you're not good enough. If you talk about it. And of judgment, talking about hell. If you talk about it, the Holy Spirit will work through you to convict the world of these things. If you talk about it, verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit convicts the unsaved concerning many things. But the big one is the sin of rejecting Christ. He pounds on that sin and pounds on that sin because it is the one sin that sends a person to hell if they don't repent. That's why you have to preach about sin and righteousness and judgment. You have to. 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Jesus' death on the cross made it possible for us to be righteous before God, something that we're incapable of doing on our own. That has to be preached. He finished the work. He finished the work of redemption on the cross. He did everything that needed to be done to save souls from hell, to pay for sins on the cross. And then verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is the devil. You know? You see, why did Jesus say that? What does the devil have to do with lost sinners? The fact that the devil is judged, what does that have to do with making lost sinners feel convicted by the Holy Spirit? Well, think of it this way. If the devil is doomed, and Jesus says he is, if the devil is doomed, Satan, Lucifer, if he's doomed because of his sin, then those who follow his sinful ways certainly have to be doomed as well. If the devil can't get away with his sin, then no impenitent human being should be arrogant enough to think that they're going to survive judgment day in one piece. 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You know, and this is so true, we can only handle a limited amount of truth at one time. Yeah, you might have a little infant at home right now, a little child, and you can't wait for them to grow up. What, it's not going to help if you shove steak down their throats. You can't stuff them with steak and potatoes and all sorts of raw vegetables and things that might be healthy for them, but you can't do that and expect them to grow to be an adult sooner. You can only feed them so much. They can only take in and assimilate so much food. And growth is a process, and it's the same in the spiritual realm. People can only take in so much truth. That's why, like, if you're reading the Word of God, did you ever notice this? You're reading through the Word of God. Some of you have been reading the Word of God for decades. And many of you have the same testimony. You know, every time I read the Word of God, I've been reading it for over 30 years or 40 years or whatever the case may be. Every time I read it, God shows me something new. Of course. The Holy Spirit has given you new stuff, stuff that you were not ready for the last time you read it. You can only take in so much truth. It's the same with, like, if you listen to my teaching. You're only going to take in so much. Only so much of it will click with you. Because we only have the capacity to take in so much truth, spiritual food, at one time, just like a baby with regular food. We can only handle a limited amount of truth at one time. And that's why God is patient with us as we grow spiritually. We take in what we can handle, and after we assimilate it, we can take in some more. 13. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit, and this is referring to the apostles specifically, the Holy Spirit told the apostles everything that God wanted his church to know. This is a promise of inspiration when writing the New Testament. It was given to the apostles primarily. There's an application to us, but it was primarily the interpretation is it was given to the apostles. So the Holy Spirit told the apostles everything that God wanted his church to know, and they wrote it down, and it is contained in the New Testament. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit loves to talk about Jesus. He loves to point people to Jesus. That's sort of like his business, you know? And that is why, if we are filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be excited about Jesus. We're going to be thrilled to talk about Jesus because the Holy Spirit is in control of us, and he loves to do that as well. And you know what? I think I'm going to... Well, no, let's read one more verse. 15. All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And again, if somebody in their sermon, in their Bible teaching, is not lifting up Jesus, they're not anointed by the Holy Spirit. You hear a lot of people, they yell their sermons, and they talk about anything and everything. Talk about money. A lot of these guys talk about money. That's all they talk about. That's all they think about. That's all they care about is money. And making promises to you, lies, false promises about you being rich if you send in your money. They don't talk about Jesus. They don't care about Jesus. They're not under control of the Holy Spirit. If a preacher, if a Bible teacher, if a Christian in general is talking about Jesus, lifting up Jesus, exalting Jesus, living for Jesus, they're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he does when he's in charge. Okay, now I probably should stop and continue on next time. We'll pick it up in verse 16 next time. In the meantime, you can continue studying the Word of God if you would like at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out. Study the Word of God verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages. Study the Word of God one verse at a time. Begin in the beginning if you like, and I suggest that you do that. I made this suggestion in the past. Begin in the beginning. Study the Word of God. Begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Go all the way through all 66 books of the Bible. Finish up in the book of Revelation. Get the Word of God in its context. That's a great way to do it. If you haven't done it, I would encourage you. A lot of you are. I hear from you. A lot of you people are out there studying the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. It's a great project. It'll bless you. Believe me, by the time you get done, you'll know God. You'll know him in a lot deeper way than you ever thought possible. But, I mean, it's up to you. Study God's Word. That's the important thing. Study it. Any book of the Bible, any chapter, just click and listen at thebibleversebyverse.com. And would you please keep in mind that we are brought to you by your prayers and financial support. Never been underwritten by a large church, never been underwritten by a denomination of any kind, but for over 30 years, Scripture Verse by Verse, since the day I started it on that first radio station, has been about getting the Word of God out as clearly as I can without watering it down. And depending on people like you, depending on your feedback, depending on your prayers and your financial support. And so click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. I thank you for spending this time with me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.